Who's excited to be here tonight? There we go. All right. We're coming off of D-Now. Maybe the majority of you got to participate in D-Now. Some of you may not have. But the excitement. Like, I didn't get to participate in it all weekend. But I came Sunday morning. And just, I know the look on your face was exhaustion. But the spirit looked like y'all were on cloud nine. And Philip kind of posed that question of, how do we keep this going? What does this look like? How do we keep it going? So that's kind of what we're going to talk about tonight a little bit, is how do we keep this high of the spiritual high going? And what does it look like, not out there so much in the world, but what does it look like in this room and in this church? So we're going to talk about some of those things. I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. So I hope each of you have a copy of God's Word. If you do, please open that up to Ephesians chapter 2. And it's going to be verses 11 through 12. Or 11 through 22. So Philip asked me, I guess about a week ago, he said, "Hey, do you mind bringing a lesson on Wednesday night?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'll be glad to do that." And he said, "So it'll be Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. And I was thinking, "Oh, that'll be great. I love the book of Ephesians, and I've done all kinds of studies in Ephesians, so this will be pretty easy maybe, and I'll enjoy this." And so I opened up my Bible to begin reading, and if you've ever seen my Bible, I have notes written in it everywhere, okay? So much so that a lot of times I can't hardly read the scripture because I've wrote, you know, some kind of note or some kind of reference in it. So when I opened up my Bible to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22, guess how many notes I have written for that section? None. How did I miss that section? And all my years of reading and studying and doing notes, taking notes, I didn't have anything. And so this panic kind of went over me like, I don't even have a starting point. What am I going to do with this? But I also got excited. Why would I get excited? It's the opportunity. Why should you get excited to come in here every Wednesday night? It's the opportunity to hear God's word. I mean, this is what we come for. So you should be excited for that. I hope each of you are. And we'll just dive right in it. I got a lot to go over, but we're going to get through it. And hopefully it'll be a lot of fun for us. And that you'll also take the message. So we're going to start in Ephesians 2. And it's going to be verses 11 through 12 is where I'll start. I don't know. So there's the slide. Okay. So they got me. That's cool. All right. So it says, "Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth." So let's stop right there for a second. Who's the Gentiles? We are. I like it. Say it louder for me. Yeah. Okay. So the people, these were non-Jewish people. And somebody said, "We are." I like it. So these are people that maybe their lineage can't be traced back to the 12 tribes of Israel. You know, they're not of the Jewish people. So that's who we got here. Before I move forward, I want us to do this. Let's look at scripture in Matthew chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 15. So I believe we got those up there. And that scripture says in Matthew 10, 5 through 6. You can follow along it there. And if you're taking notes, just kind of write this out there. But it says this. These 12 Jesus sent out. Who's the 12 Jesus sent out? The disciples. He sent with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, this is Jesus talking to his 12 disciples, and he says, do not go to the Gentiles. That's pretty much isolating a group of people, isn't it? So let's see what the next thing says is Matthew 15, 25 through 26 says, the woman came and knelt before him the woman is a Gentile. "Lord, help me," she said. And he replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." It's pretty strong scripture. Who's the dogs? The Gentiles. Who's the children? The Jews. So here again we have Jesus speaking and he's isolating the Gentiles. Now, that sounds cruel when we're like, hey, I thought Jesus loved everybody. He does. But his message was to be brought to the Jews first before he took it to the Gentiles. Okay? But what the point of this is just to show is that the Gentiles is a group of people who have been segregated or isolated or put to the side. Okay? Y'all follow what I'm saying? So if you go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, if we can go back to that on the slides too. "Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men." And it goes on to say in verse 12, "Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, and without God in the world." So the Apostle Paul here is speaking to the Gentiles and reminding them kind of where they came from. Because what's happened is this congregation or this audience that he's speaking to is made up of a lot of the Gentile people. But there's a mixture of Jews. Now the Jews feel like the message was for them. But now the Gentiles are receiving it and responding to it. And so you've got a group of people that were once separated, now they're together. Is this making sense? So when you bring people together, do you guys like everything I like? No. Do I like everything y'all like? I guarantee you. How many of you like cheese? I'm a weird person. I don't eat cheese. I don't like cheese. I'll eat it, but I really don't like it. How many of you ate hot dogs? Most everybody in here has ate a hot dog. I've never ate a hot dog in my life. I can't do that. So we're not alike. So if I'm going to your party and you're serving hot dogs with cheese on it, I'm probably not too excited, right? And I'm probably going to cause a fuss and say, hey, we should have something else, a hamburger or something. I don't know. But you get what I'm saying. So you got this group of Gentiles who have their customs. They've got their fashions, they've got their thoughts, they've got the way they do things. And then you got the Jews who had their thoughts and their fashions and their way of doing things, and you're trying to put them together. Y'all follow where we're at so far? And this is kind of a history lesson, but I'll get to where we're going. So the Apostle Paul is writing to them and saying, look, we were once all separated, but now we've come together. So he's telling the Gentiles that in the beginning, the time was you were separate from Christ and excluded from citizenship. Somebody said a while ago, Gentiles is us. And that is correct. Because then when we are unbelievers or we're lost, we're excluded from the citizenship of God's kingdom. Y'all heard that before? But when we accept it, then we're allowed in. The other thing about this too that the Apostle Paul is talking about, and we'll cover this a lot more. When you're living in the lost world as a non-believer, there is no hope. Okay? You're living without God. You're living without hope. Scripture's telling us that. And then the other thing that's really cool about it is he's saying that when you talk about the uncircumcised or the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, so this is a action taken on the body by the hands of man. And the Jews are saying, hey, you Gentiles haven't had all that done, so you really, you can't be here. Well, I think we know enough in this room. How many have been saved by the hands of a man? Thank you. Nobody raised your hand. Good. So the Apostle Paul is going to talk more about that here in a bit and say that that really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The things that are done by man, by his hands, when it comes to salvation, doesn't matter. and he's going to talk about that a little bit more, and we'll get into it too. So let's keep going here. Make sure where I'm at. So let me do this, just to help have a little fun, and to maybe give y'all a visual. I know you guys like a lot of visual type stuff. So you guys don't know, on the front row, y'all are part of the show tonight. So if y'all want to stand up with me, all of you. So are any of you kin? I hope not. I know y'all, so I hope not, okay? Is your best friend here? Yes. Grab your best friend. Did they really? What did we do automatically right here? We created a division, right? It's okay for you. It's okay to... But we created a division right here. How many of you got on long sleeves? If you do, go stand by each other. And if you don't have on long sleeves, step over here. What have we done? Create separation. If you got long hair, stay over here. If you got short hair, come over here. What are we doing? We can do this all night long. This is pretty easy, right? Why wasn't it just easy for the Gentiles to go over here and have them a church and the Jews to go over here and have them a church? It would have been pretty easy, right? It's been pretty easy. Hey, I don't like how you do things, so I'm coming over here. I don't like how you're doing things, so I'm going over there. Do you think that's what churches do today? That's a pretty tough question. And that's one I probably don't need to go into with my expertise. But I would dare say a lot of the churches that we have got started because somebody didn't get along, because they created a separation. Apostle Paul is going to talk a lot about that tonight, and we are too. So here's another good one. If your name is Mary Emma, you come stand over here. And if it isn't, y'all come over here. And you like just stand up here and look all sad and stuff. And then like y'all just kind of like huddle up and like whisper like psh, 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 psh. And every once in a while just kind of cut your eyes over here at her. Now, this is lonesome over here. I mean, would you agree? You're all by yourself. They're just whispering and one of them will cut their eyes over here once in a while. That's isolation, right? And that is not a good place to be. But how many of you, you don't have to raise your hand if you want to, how many of you have been right here? Isolated from everybody because you didn't maybe fit in. Or they didn't think you'd fit in. Now how about this? How many over here was the group that's been the chit-chatting, the whispering, the cutting of the eyes because that person didn't belong and you wanted to make fun of them? That's not good places to be in either side, right? So what we want to see is how do we, and I'll let y'all sit down for a little bit, how do we as a church not isolate anybody? Not make them feel unwanted. You get what I'm going and where we're going? So let's keep reading here. I appreciate you. And I'll come back to y'all a little bit later if that's okay. See, the society puts, I guess we'll call it judgments on people. When society puts those judgments on people, it can isolate them or leave them out. Okay? We don't really want that to be what's going on. So I've got a couple of questions. Does this youth group put judgments on people on the outside? I mean, I'm not asking for feedback back, but if you're taking notes and want to, or if you want that to soak in, does this youth group place judgments on the people on the outside? Here's probably a better question. Does this youth group place judgments on the people inside of this room? Okay? You know, society is made up of all these things, and people get put in their places. But what the Apostle Paul's going to be talking about is we should be one. Okay, especially the church. So let's keep going. Verse 13 says this. But now, when you see the word but, he's transitioning. So he was explaining, Gentiles, you were out there, you were isolated, the word wasn't for you yet. But now, what he's saying, but now the word is for you. And that's where the Great Commission comes in, which is scripture being Matthew 28, 18 through 20. So they make him pop that up there on the screen. There it is for you. So if you want to take notes on that. But now, it's your time, the Gentiles. Because what was the commandment in the Great Commission? Make disciples of all nations. That means every living person regardless. There's no separation now. There's no isolation. There's no forget this group over here. It's everybody. It's everybody. All nations. Okay? That's how we got witness to. That's how we become part of what's going on. So Paul transitions again to reference salvation by the blood. So let's finish reading it. But now in Christ Jesus, who once were far away, have been brought near through the blood of Christ. So we were once lost. Salvation through crucifixion, the shedding of the blood, covers our sins. So now this word is available to us through freedom of choice. Okay. And let's look at that and see it again in Romans, because do I have that up there, guys? Romans 2, verses 28 and 29. So there it is right there. Romans 2, 28, 29 says, a person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Y'all know what the written code is? That was the law. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. So y'all listen to me right here. It says a man is not a Jew if he is one outwardly. What Apostle Paul is talking about is the ritual performed by man doesn't save you. The Spirit saves you. That's the only thing that can save you. Okay? So let me read it this way, and I know we're not supposed to add or change words of Scripture, but let me just read it this way so you'll understand it. One is not a Christian if he is only one outwardly. Let me clarify that a little bit better. One is not a Christian just because he's a good person. One is not a Christian just because he shows up at church. One is not a Christian just because he gives the most money. You want me to keep going, or we get the picture? So how do I become a Christian? What does the Scripture say? It's a change in what? Your heart. And it can't be done by man. Who's it done by? By Jesus. Through what? The Holy Spirit? See, we can't be saved by man. We have rituals we go by, you know. But until you've had a conversion of the heart spiritually, that's where salvation comes in. So that's what the Apostle Paul's talking about here. If we go on into verse 14, it says this. For he himself is our peace. And I'm going to slow it down right here just for a minute too. I intentionally took Mary Emma and put her over here to the side. Now, just to try to create some kind of vision of her being all alone and sad and picked on. But the reality is we can all relate to that person. I don't know what you go through in life. I don't know the trials you're going through. I don't know everything that's going on in your life. But I do know this. Scripture tells us, and I do know this also, Jesus is our peace. There's a lot of anxiety in this world. You're trying to make the right grades. You're trying to do this. You're trying to be the hero in sports. I don't know what all you're doing, but we're always trying to max ourselves out. There's nothing wrong with that. We're always trying to be this or be that to everybody. Sometimes we're left out. But Jesus is our peace. And hear me when I say this. Jesus doesn't make peace. Jesus doesn't just provide peace. I should say he doesn't just make peace. He doesn't just provide peace. Jesus is peace. Y'all get that? Jesus is our peace. Okay? We'll go a little further and it says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." Now, we can think about barrier, and if you know Scripture, well, I'll just ask it. If I said Jesus tore down the barrier, what comes to your mind? Does anything come to your mind? The veil. Thank you. So that's usually what comes to people's mind is that, yes, at the crucifixion, the temple veil in the temple tore in two. So Jesus became the connection to God. So now we have a connection to God through Jesus Christ, through his shedding of the blood and the crucifixion. Okay? So we got that. But I don't think that's what Apostle Paul's talking about here. And I could be wrong, but this is my teaching. Okay? What I think he's talking about is through Jesus, he's tore down the barriers that separated Miriam over here. He's tore down that hostility that we may have towards somebody, because when we come in the church building, we're one. When we go outside, we're one. Does that make sense? So I think Jesus, through his sacrifice for us, not just is that connection to God, which is very important, but he also has us connected to one another. It's almost like this. And I might be jumping ahead in my notes, but when you think about salvation, and you think about that person that's at your lunch table, do you see that person as an outsider? Do you see the person on your team as an outsider? Is there someone in your friend group that's really an outsider? Is there somebody in your family that's an outsider? Okay? Are you the one that feels like they're on the outside always? Okay? We shouldn't be placing people on the outside. There shouldn't be people that can't find a place when it comes to being a believer in Jesus Christ, because we all should be one. Okay? Jesus broke down that barrier. How did he do it? Let's keep reading. Verse 15. By abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And I'll keep going into 16, and it says, in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. So, Apostle Paul is just pounding on the fact of unity, being one. The purpose of the law has been complete through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Salvation now comes through faith and through grace. Grace being a gift from God, and that's quoting Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 8. But we're creating one body, one new race, and this is where I was going a while ago when I said I might be jumping ahead. Think about your soul. Does your soul have a skin color, hair color, eye color? Does your soul have the biggest bank account? Does your soul wear the best clothes? These looks on the outside, these looks that society sometimes puts us in different places because of the way it creates things in the world, doesn't matter to God. He's after the soul. And it's almost like when Jesus died on the cross for us, for that salvation, that forgiveness of sins, he created a whole new race of people. If you follow what I'm saying. And it's all the believers. We should be one, okay? We should be one. God has broke down the barriers or the walls for the soul. Have you accepted his son as your savior? And that comes with a free will, free choice. Here's the deal. I've already said, I'm not like you guys. You're not like me. Is anybody exactly like anybody in this room? So why am I keep pounding on the fact that we're one, we're one, we're one, when we are so different? Let's see what Scripture says about it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. 12 through 13. And it says this, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. So we've all been saved under the Spirit. We've covered that. Now we're talking about if we're all one, why are we so different? Well, your body has many parts. What's the function of all these parts of the body? They all have different functions, right? You know, if you got ears, what are they for? Hearing. For hearing. If you got eyes, what are they for? See. See, so there's all these functions for the different parts of the body. Well, that's where you come in the body of Christ and in the church, is you're gifted differently than all of us so that you can perform a function that I can't. I can perform a function that you can't. But together, if we're all working for the same thing, we can do it together as one. And what is that that we'd be working for? What's the Great Commission say? Being fishers of men, absolutely. Trying to be in disciples, trying to reach the lost, okay? That's what the function of us as a church, as a whole, is. So we're acting as one, but we function differently because I have different talents than you. Now, should you be jealous of my talents? Should I be jealous of yours? No, because we're all in it together. We're all got one goal in mind. Let me do this. How many of you remember, that if you were here at D now, how many of you remember the scripture that's on the shirt? Ephesians, got that? 4 through 6, okay, good. So we got it. How many of you, did everybody remember that? If you were there, it's only been 3 days ago. Why is it leaving us? We go back to the world, and those barriers get put up, and we put those barriers and those walls back up. But we got to remember, Jesus tore all those down. We don't have to hide behind them anymore. We can be excited. We can be all in for God. We can. The barriers have been tore down. So let's put that scripture up there, because I want to remind everybody. Because here's the thing is. Like Philip said, we want to keep it going. That's how we're going to reach those that are outside, that are lost. But it's also how we're going to connect in here, okay? So as opposed to me reading it, because this is your scripture, I want y'all to read it together. 1, 2, 3. Do y'all believe it? You really believe it? Did you believe it this past weekend?
Yes.
Did you have a conviction over it? And now I wasn't sure, but now I do, so I believe it. Let's do this again. See, I was tricking y'all. But this is what I want you to do now. I want you to stand up. Let's wake up a little bit. And I want this scripture read with some excitement. I want it read with a spiritual high. Y'all get what I'm saying? I mean, let's say it like we mean it, not like I'm struggling to speak. I really don't read God's word. That's almost what it sounded like when y'all were saying it. We shouldn't be afraid to read God's word. Okay? The barriers have been broke down. Let's read it like we mean it. One, two, three. All right, yeah, good. All right. Yeah, and y'all can sit back down. You can sit back down. Okay? It's that enthusiasm, it's that excitement that we should, as Christians, as believers, live our life. We shouldn't be hesitant or not wanting to speak the scripture, okay? Let's move on. Verse 17 and 18. Let me check my time. I'm way over my time. We got to speed up. Y'all listen faster. Here we go. Verse 17 and 18 says this. In verse 17 it says, he came. Do y'all know what it means that he came? He came to die on the cross. Where did he come from? Huh? From heaven. Yeah, he descended. And there's scripture, if y'all want to flip, or it's right there, Ephesians 4, 9 through 10. And there's some other scripture, John 1, 1 through 3. Y'all can write those down or go to them on your own. But he came from heaven. He left the comforts of heaven to come where? To come to earth. Wow. Okay. Well, he was willing to leave that comfort to come to earth for us. So now the question becomes this. When's the last time you got out of your comfort zone to go witness? And the Apostle Paul's probably not talking about outside. But what about this? When's the last time you came out of your comfort zone for the person that sits at the lunchroom table that no one ever talks to? When's the last time you came out of your comfort zone at the game or for your team or one of your teammates? When's the last time at a party you came out of your comfort zone to be a witness? And then let's think about this here, even in this room. I don't know every single one of you in here, but I know enough to know that we've got somebody here tonight that's their first time. Don't look around. How many of you knew that? Show of hands. Less than half. Why don't we know that it's someone's first time tonight? Because we have our groups. And we want to stay in those groups because that's our comfort zone. Hey, this is my friend. This is why I come to church. This is my best friend. I'll sit with them. I'll talk with them. And everything's going to be great. And we'll do our lesson. I'm going to go home. It's not what Apostle Paul is saying. We shouldn't be so grouped up and so isolated that we're missing someone who's here for the first time tonight. Do y'all get that? We should be as one, working as one for one goal. That's to bring the lost to Christ. I'll read it real quick. Verse 17, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Going right on into 19, it says, consequently, that's a transition. When you see words like that, he's transitioned to another thought. You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow Christians with God's people and members of God's household. What's God's household? The church. We're members of that. Does that mean you're a member of First Baptist? Well, we are. But is that what Apostle Paul's talking about? He's not talking about First Baptist of Blackshear. What is he talking about? God's kingdom. God's church. Okay? That's the difference. We've asked this question, how are we going to keep this excitement going, and how are we going to be strong and stand firm in our witness and in our faith, not just outside of there, but there's people in this room that need us. How are we going to do that? It only starts with who? Jesus Christ. As a foundation for us to build off of. So let's look real quick. Verses 20. It says, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, the Christ Jesus himself as a chief cornerstone. So we got to have Jesus as our cornerstone. It's not going to work any other way. Okay? So then you go into verse 21. It says, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And then verse 22. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit. What does that mean? What is verse 22 saying? And in him you too are being built. What does that mean? Somebody give me. What does it mean we're being built? You guys are being discipled. You're being taught. I am too. You know, when Philip gets up here and brings the word, or when your small group leader brings the word, or when you bring the word with your own friends or your own family, or you're sitting there with Pastor Judd, you're being matured in your faith. Through that maturity, you're able to go and be witnesses. Okay? Not just outside, but where else? Right here. Right here in the walls in our youth group. So if you look at 1 Corinthians, let's throw it up. It's up there already. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. It's a pretty tough scripture right there to read sometimes. We're bought at a price. I think what the Apostle Paul was trying to do here is merge two different types of groups of people into one and explain to them the beauty of the salvation and crucifixion of Jesus, bringing them together. And I hope I've been able to do that for you guys here. And to understand it's, you know, it's not just always about going out there. Sometimes we just got to learn to get along inside together. Does that make sense? And I'm bringing it back to the youth group here with you guys. But don't forget, are there youth groups at other churches? And they believe in the same God, the same salvation that you believe in? So they are part of your youth group. Now, they may be at a different church, but that's okay. We're still one for the church of God. Okay? And we need to act like it. There shouldn't be barriers, walls, and separation, isolation like I did in Mary Emma. We shouldn't have that. Okay? So that's a challenge for us. It's a challenge for me in my life. It's a challenge for you guys. Let's go out there and try to live that. I got to wrap it up so I can give you a small group. And I don't even know where they're at. I guess I don't know if Philip's still talking to them or what's going on. But I want to pray for us. And you guys can go to your small group room and I'll go find leaders. And hey, if they've all gone home because I went too long, I'll just bring you back out and we'll do it together. How's that? I'm just kidding. They're here somewhere. But let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for bringing each and every one of us into this room tonight. Thank you for this past weekend of DNOW, as there was some decisions made, some salvations, and man, I can't thank you enough. You're so awesome, so awesome. Your grace is really just more than I can comprehend, because we've all fallen short, and we're not worthy, but your love for us is just so amazing. I pray for those that are making these decisions. I pray that they are being matured and that they are growing in their faith. I pray for the one who may have been on the verge of making that decision, but those barriers, those walls just held them back. I hope that tonight, if there's someone in that room that had that hesitant feeling, that they understand that Jesus has tore those barriers down. And they can come to you with open arms and you'll receive them in open arms. Again, I just thank you for these kids in this room. And for what they mean to not just this church, but your church across all nations. Just forgive us for where we fail you. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.